More of Lake Effect Now. I'm Mitch Teich. When it comes to the trendy dining scene in Milwaukee, the city's chef pedigree is growing. Restaurants are attracting diners today, not just with tasty menu offerings, but also with the promise of well-known chefs in the kitchen. Unlike the national scene, in which chefs are celebrities thanks to their TV show-honed personalities, Milwaukee's celebrity chefs get that way based on their culinary reputation alone. But our dining contributor, Ann Christensen, also points out that Milwaukee's big-name chefs are often very mobile, maybe even dynamic, which is why she created a chef matrix in the latest issue of Milwaukee Magazine, a fun look at where chefs have been and where they're going. She tells Lake Effect's Dan Harmon about who she included on her matrix.
What I would have loved to have done was to have head chefs, sous chefs, and pastry chefs on this list, but I realized that it would become such a huge challenge and it would become a giant twister board or something. It would be huge. So I had to limit it. And so I limited it to 15 head chefs because I knew there would be so much interaction there and that it would be like a hornet's nest almost of all this interweaving. How are we going to make this work? And plus I had to talk to a graphic designer on staff who'd be able to create this thing. But it's something I had been thinking about for a long time. And at one point, the way I thought of doing this was it would be like a solar system. And there would be the chefs would be different planets. And maybe the restaurants would be like, I don't know, satellites or shooting stars or
moons.
Something on the moon. I don't know. Anyway, but it became, as you've said, a matrix. And it charts these 15 chefs actively working right now in Milwaukee. It begins where the first restaurant they worked at, and then it kind of charts their progress over the years to where they're working now. Now, however, I didn't include country clubs because I thought that, you know, generally speaking, you know, you have to be a member to go to them. And plus, that would add many more places and make this list even more complicated, or the matrix more complicated. But if you look at this thing, it's like a really crazy, like, EKG. I mean, that's kind of how it looks. It's pretty crazy. Then you add the component of restaurants that have closed. So in the key, we flagged, okay, which restaurants are no longer operating, which ones have changed their names and become something else, but it's still the same owner. Situations where a chef left a restaurant, went somewhere else, went back to that restaurant, or opened that restaurant, closed that restaurant, reopened it again, or reopened it, rather. So I think it's a really fun section in the magazine, in the June issue, but it's a challenge. It's a challenge to do it, but I think it's one of the coolest things that we've done or tried to do. I think, like I said, I wanted to do it in a huge form and have a lot more people, but I think that would have had to have been a pullout chart.
Well, that would be cool.
I know.
A pullout, yeah.
I think it could be done again.
Or maybe like a model, scale model that you can build.
Right, right.
Well, okay, I'll blame you for this because your analogy about the chefs being planets and, you know, the whole solar system around it. So when did chefs here become stars, if you will? I mean, people that read this will know a good five, at least five of these chefs, just by name anyway.
Well, let's see. Who turns the chefs into stars? Well, I guess the media to a certain extent. But
you.
That's reflected by the attention that national, international chefs have gotten through the Food Network, all of the TV shows, you know, the books, people like Anthony Bourdain. Those people are really, you know, Rachel Ray. All of those people are celebrities, Guy Fieri, you know, because the national media and because the Food Network has made them so.
But here there are stars,
yes,
without even having programs.
It's true.
Just by reputation, it seems like.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's the case. These are chefs that are consistently doing excellent things. And so then, you know, they consistently appear in stories, you know, or reviews about restaurants or a matrix, you know, for instance, that we do. But yeah, I think there's also this sense that, you know, and again, maybe it goes back to Anthony Bourdain, that people sort of compared him to, and I think it was he himself who said he's sort of like the chef, you know, Keith Richards or something like that. They see chefs as a little bit more interesting or badass or, I mean, just kind of, it's a little more creative and interesting profession, perhaps, than someone would say, like, you know, a CPA. I don't know. But there could be, you know, celebrity CPAs, I guess, too, right? But maybe there's something sexy about chefs. I don't know.
Well, let's talk about another topic in the June issue, which is that of outside dining etiquette or patio etiquette.
Yes.
Not something we give a lot of thought to, but just before we went on the air, we rattled off at least five topics for discussion as far as dining outside.
Correct, because I don't think until you start to really, you know, or someone starts to list all the things that go into dining outside that makes it different from dining inside, then you realize, this perhaps presents a few challenges that do not happen when you're dining inside. So this is not the topmost one, but, you know, think about when you go to a restaurant, inside a restaurant, right? And let's say you've got like six people and you walk into the dining room and you've got maybe, I don't know, six two tops or something. Are you going to take it upon yourself to just walk up to those tables and push them all together and make your own table to accommodate six people? Probably not, right? You're going to say something to the host, hostess, the server, and say, you know, is there any way that we can, you know, push these tables together so that we can all sit together? Apparently, at some restaurants, when you're outside and it's like patio tables, people like to move the tables just because they think they can. I don't know.
And are you saying it's not okay?
What I'm saying is I'm hearing that it can become an issue. I think that at some restaurants, they don't like you to do that. Kind of like they wouldn't want you to do it inside unless you ask somebody first. Because maybe they want to have those tables set aside for parties of two or parties of four. They don't want you to put these tables together and create your own party. I don't know.
Well, I might be wrong, but is it generally assumed or is it a safe assumption that dining outside is more lax or relaxed, that the same rules don't apply outside?
I don't think so. I think many of the same rules do apply inside. You know, for instance, just as there's a non-smoking policy inside restaurants, there are a lot of restaurants that won't let you smoke on their patio. But some will let you smoke if it's not within a certain number of feet of the entrance so that people inside are not getting the cigarette smoke. Obviously, you cannot bring a pet inside a pet, and I'm speaking specifically of dogs, inside a restaurant. You know, that you just can't do that. This is in Paris, you know. But some restaurants will say, yeah, it's fine to bring your dog to the patio. But, and I checked with the health department because they say that it's up to the restaurant operator and then they can allow it. If it's outdoors, obviously you can't let the animals inside. But I think it probably requires some policing too because, you know, I've been sitting outside and seen people have a dog in their lap. And yet have you been to a restaurant where you've seen a dog kind of see another dog and then they start barking or snapping at each other?
Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, that can happen too. So I would think that's not an ideal situation when you have a lot of diners outside.
Okay. Well, is there a difference between, like, a lot of places have tables set up out front?
Yes.
Where the dogs don't have to walk to the restaurant, but a lot of places have patios that are only accessible through the restaurant. So
in those situations, I don't think they can have dogs on the patio because the dog has to be taken through the restaurant. I think it's limited to restaurants where you have an outside access point to the patio or it's sidewalk seating. You know, for instance, I've heard from the Lowlands group that at Benelux, you can have dogs outside on the sidewalk where you can seated outside, but you can't go up on the roof with your dog because that would mean obviously walking through the restaurant to get upstairs. So I think that is prohibited if you have to bring your animal inside.
What about weather-related concerns? I mean, we of course talked before we went on the air about people who want to sit outside when it's raining or lightly raining or whatever, cloudy, and really consider, you know, all the factors in that.
It's tricky because some restaurants, I think, and maybe be able to, let's say it starts raining, they might be able to move diners inside to tables. But perhaps they're too busy, though, and they can't, you know, accommodate the diners inside. I mean, that would hopefully be in rare circumstances where the only place they can sit is outside. However, if it's raining a little bit, I would think that a lot of restaurants have their own policies. Hey, if it's starting to storm, we're just evacuating the patio. But if it's showering a little bit, that means your server's getting wet. You may not be because you might be covered. You know, you might have an umbrella over you. But perhaps you should think about the fact that, you know, your server's getting wet, your food's getting wet. Maybe it's time to move it inside. But wind is another factor.
Yeah. And I remember us talking about this before, but just the idea of insects and all these things that come with being outside. Some people, for some reason, seem to think that a restaurant can make it insect-free outside.
Yes. And I mean, all of us have been there where you're at a restaurant and suddenly you're accosted by bees. I mean, or you've got some pizza on your table and there's flies all over it. I mean, those are not good situations, believe me. I don't like to be in them. But and I do know that there are restaurants that really try to do things to, cut down on mosquitoes and things like that. To an extent, it's impossible to prevent a stray ant from crawling up your leg just because you're outside. At the same time, you know, if I see a butterfly nearby, I mean, I think, well, isn't that charming? Because that's the bonus of sitting outside, right? Because you have the sounds, the smells, the air, the wind. I mean, a little bit of all those things that you don't get when you're stuck in this sterile environment inside.
Okay, here's something I bet you haven't thought of.
Okay.
What is etiquette, like if you're sitting outside on a sidewalk restaurant, what is the expectation of interaction between you and pedestrians? Or is it, because I think people are much more willing to talk to people when they're sitting outside on a sidewalk and get involved in the street scene, you know, wherever it is. Do you think that's...
Are you speaking from experience, Dan?
Maybe. But do you think that it's kind of weird to all of a sudden someone's having a conversation with people walking by and it turns into this gab session?
Like they might stop and say, hey, what are you eating? What is that? Hey,
yeah.
I like your pants or something like that. I think that's strange, and I don't think that you're a sideshow if that's kind of what you... That's almost what you're suggesting to me, is that because you're seated out there, you're fair game for whatever pedestrian is going by and feels like they can heckle you or talk to you or even just try to engage you in conversation seems to me not to be. I don't believe that you are expected to become part of the, part of whatever scene they're trying to create.
All right. Or you can get panhandled.
Exactly. That's all another situation. Yeah, that is the, that's the worst case scenario probably right there.
What about just kind of different expectations of comfort outside? Some places have really great patio furniture, outdoor furniture, and they have heat lamps.
Blankets. Sometimes they'll bring you a snuggie. I've heard of that.
Not experienced that one, but do you think there's any foods that are just not conducive to being served outside?
I personally think that a lot of foods are, because I have this thing about food that's just not at the right temperature. You know, it's not served at the right temperature, and it's going to cool off pretty fast by the time you get outside. But that being said, though, I mean, what's better than having a cookout, like a steak on the grill or a burger on the grill? And maybe, like, contradicting myself here and saying there's maybe not much except for, like, you know, a giant hot fudge sundae on a 90-degree day, unless you're willing to eat it. I mean, just like going to Cops, you just eat it right away so it just doesn't melt. Maybe things that are really cold, that are supposed to be really cold, you just want to eat it right away. I kind of think of festival food, you know what I mean? You just are expected to eat anything fried. You want to eat it right away. It's just not, the shelf life's not going to be that long.
The only maybe problem, I'm using air quotes here, that I've had is with food that contains things that will be blown away easily, and that it could even be breadcrumbs on a salad or just light pieces of lettuce that can just easily be blown off the table or off of your plate.
Wow, that would be a windy predicament, I would think.
It happens, yeah.
I've never had a salad where ingredients in the salad blew away.
It does happen.
I think of more when it's windy enough, your napkins are flying.
Yeah, that's
true. Or a certain thing, and you have to like bolt them down with a cup or something. It seems like it's more... you know, kind of parts of the place settings end up going away.
The other thing I've noticed, some places use plastic outside because it's just safer, but as soon as it gets empty or empty-ish, it's more likely to blow away.
If you're dining at a nicer restaurant and you're getting like plastic outside as opposed to the silverware that they use inside, that seems less than ideal for me.
Just walk away.
Yeah, just walk away.
All right. Well, maybe we can have a recap at the end of September and see how things have gone this
after
summer.
A summer of dining outside.
After our 2 weeks of summer, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Anne.
Thank you, Dan.
Anne Christensen is dining critic and senior editor at Milwaukee Magazine and Lake Effect's regular dining contributor. She talked with Dan Harmon about dining outdoors and about the Milwaukee Chef Matrix she compiled in the current issue of the magazine. One last break, and then we'll meet the author of a dark mystery set in England's coal country in the late 19th century. Alex Grecian joins us when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.